Welcome, everybody, to this little bit special episode of Pit Lane Parlay this week. We're going to give you a bit of a taste of our new, relatively new podcast we're doing on the NASCAR side of things, Pit Pass NASCAR. If you haven't checked it out yet, this is our way of giving you the ability to do so without having to type anything into your search bar. It's just going to pop right up for you. And hopefully, you enjoy some stock car racing interview with Ryan Preece. Because we'd love for you all to check that side of our podcast out. And with that said, let's get into the interview.
We're joined this afternoon by Ryan Preece ahead of Martinsville this weekend. I almost forgot what there's so many races at this point. This is this part of the season that's starting to blend together for me already. So, first off, sir, how are you? And welcome to the show.
I'm doing good, but I can relate to that because I do the same thing and I'm driving the race car. So
Yeah.
you really definitely take it you really take it one week at a time when you're in this sport.
Yeah, fair enough. So, I want to start kind of before the season and before the last couple seasons and go to Ryan Preece growing up in Connecticut. How did you get into motorsports and, what was the driving factor that kind of led you through that as, growing up?
Yeah, much like many people in racing, it was a family thing. It's not like when you're in school, you get exposed to football, baseball, wrestling, all those other, stick and ball sports too. So for me, it was my father raced, my grandfather had a race car, and there just happened to be a go-kart track, a quarter midget track, 5 minutes away from where we lived. But when I was 6 years old, my dad loved racing. He obviously wanted me to get into it, so we went visited it. And next thing we know, myself and my two older brothers were sharing a race car our first year. So that's really how it all started. And then from there, it was just most families go on vacations. They do things like that. We went racing. We went racing in different states, traveling the East Coast up and down, as well as far over to Indiana. So it just became something that we did. And for me, when I got to high school and my brother got to high school, he enjoyed doing different sports and kind of growing out of racing, doing it himself. He didn't want to continue to sacrifice some of the things that I did, but he was actually a really good race car driver too. So I was willing to sacrifice the things that it took to I guess chase after the stream.
Yeah. Awesome. Go ahead, Frenchie.
So I guess related to that, sharing a race car with your brothers sounds like it'd probably be one of the most competitive things you could possibly do. Like that's the guy you're trying to beat the most, right? Or no?
Well, it started off, we all shared it. He was older than me, so he was in. They used to have senior and junior. So at the time, we didn't have to race against each other. But as the next year came, he had his own car. I had my own car. We were racing against each other, and quickly we were separated. Because exactly to your point, we would race each other harder than we would race anybody else. And we'd wreck each other. And for your parents, they're the ones who are, paying the penalty for that. So, but yeah, exactly to your point, it was he was the one I wanted to beat the most.
So looking at your career so far, if you were, and this is just a general, whether it's Modifieds or NASCAR, Xfinity, you're gonna pick out a trophy case moment or two, something that's you'll always be proud of, one day when your racing career is over in the long future from now. What is what trophy case moments are we thinking of?
It's still Iowa, to be honest with
Okay,
you.
yeah.
That day changed my life, and nobody will really understand what I mean by that because I went from living, in a small condo, my wife and I, and to living in North Carolina. I have 10 acres, and it completely changed my life, not only from a personal standpoint, but from a racing standpoint. And really, I don't know if, like, I always knew I could. I always knew I can go win, and
Sure.
as I do right now. But that just proved the point, right? That at the time, I felt like I wasn't going to win with what I was doing in 2016, and I didn't want to continue down that road. I didn't want to continue being I don't want to say field filler, but somebody who any given weekend when I walked through the tunnel, I didn't feel like I could win that race. Where, when I showed up for those two races, at the end of the day, I knew it was going to be me that held me back from winning. And ultimately, those days changed my life. I think back to Nashville in 2021 when it was probably a really, really low moment for me in my career because a lot of head scratching and pulling your hair out, and you go out for your first time in a truck and you win. You know what I mean? So it shows to people that you're capable. You have to figure out how to put the pieces to the puzzle together.
Awesome.
Yeah, that had to be super satisfying to basically remind everyone, like, this is what I'm here to do, and I'm doing it right in front of your eyes. So don't stop paying attention to me. Obviously, I'm around.
Oh yeah, no, and I think we all the racers know when even when you go race at your grassroots level, it's not like an MLB player going and playing T-ball. It's just there's guys that race weekly, regionally, or whatever it may be on a weekly basis. They're really freaking good. So whenever I can go down and we can win and dominate that just proves to people that you're more than capable. You can do it, and it's just trying to find that right recipe or whatever it takes to get the speed there.
So I'm curious. I know you are a first-time father, so congratulations, back in the fall last year. Is life that much more exhausting and tiring just because you are balancing a full-time career and a, I think, still less than 1-year-old child at home?
It's definitely different because there used to be the time, like I'll just use yesterday as an example. I was pretty tired because Monday I drove my motor home back after Richmond instead of going to sleep after the race. I looked at my wife. I said, "Why go to sleep? I'm not going to sleep. So I might as well just drive us back right now." So we got home at about 5:30 in the morning and really didn't sleep the rest of that day. Maybe got 3 or 4 hours the next night. And
Oof.
so yesterday, I guess the story that I'm getting at is, when I drove home after all our meetings and everything yesterday afternoon, I could have walked into our house, went to bed. That's not possible now that you have somebody that depends on you. And, at the age she's at, you're just watching her the entire time now. I'm definitely lucky to have my wife who she'll do the majority of it, but you got to
Sure.
be there and be present.
But so you guys are traveling to all the races together in your motorhome all year?
For the most part, we go to the ones that I can drive it to for sure.
So I have another kind of hypothetical question here, looking at the races on all the tracks that NASCAR goes to. I asked somebody this recently, and I forget who it was, but anyway, if you were to pick your first NASCAR win, you can pick where it's going to be. Maybe not what weekend on the calendar it is, but you can look at the NASCAR schedule and pick, hey, I want to win at this track. What track are you picking that you would love to have your first win at?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Okay. I thought it would be that or Pocono or something kind of up that way that's
Oh yeah.
close to home.
And it really has nothing to do with the racetracks. It has everything to do with the people, and the race fans that it's just a different breed of race fan up there. We're very passionate about our sport. So yeah, if I had to choose any racetrack, I mean, really, I say New Hampshire, but like you said, Pocono, Watkins Glen, somewhere in that vicinity would definitely be it.
Have you, growing up, did you ever get to race at Lime Rock and anything? I'm curious because I know that's probably what, like an hour-ish from where you grew up.
Yeah, I raced the modified tour there in
Okay.
2000, 2009, I think it was, or 2010, maybe. I think maybe it was 2010, but came from, but yeah, so it was Yeah, it was an experience for sure. You know, I was close enough that obviously I'd been there, but I
Sure.
outside of that, I never ran.
Go ahead, Frenchie.
So speaking of wins, I mean, we're coming up to a track where you were sitting on pole last year, won the first stage. Are you feeling confident heading into Martinsville?
Yeah, I think going into all short tracks, I feel pretty confident. Just when you change rule packages, you're changing tires, those are key components that when we set race cars up. So as much as it's the same thing, it's so different. And understanding that and what need, you know, what knobs to turn to make our car really fast. You know, I have high expectations that we're gonna be really fast when we go back, but definitely it's gonna be something new.
So I'm going to go totally off of racing here. Frenchie knows where I'm going with this one. So we have a Spotify playlist for all of our guests this year. You get to pick something either you listen to before a race or something you're just currently digging, whatever you want. Two out of the eight additions this year have been Creed. So, it's definitely all over the place.
Yeah.
So you are free to go in any direction you want on this one.
I promise you, you'd never guess what I'd listen to. A lot of it is gangster rap from like the 90s.
Okay, I respect
Believe it or
that.
not.
I
Yeah.
feel like
A
I've seen
lot
that on some of your reels or like your stories before, and I've been like, all right,
of
he's got eclectic
it.
taste.
That's it. Yeah. No. I would say Biggie, Eazy-E, NWA. Dre, like all your old classics for the most part, and even some early 2000s, you know, with 50 Cent or Eminem. And but yeah, no, I mean, I pretty much that's what I enjoy listening to.
Hey, I respect that more than probably almost any new rap or pop music
Oh
that
yeah,
comes out.
I can't get into, you know, I'll listen to, or you know, some kids that are younger,
Yeah.
and maybe they'll listen to, like, they'll talk about Lil Wayne and be like, oh, he's the best of all time. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, half the time he's all over the place. You don't even know what good rap is.
Yeah, I had a very heated college debate about 12 years ago on Lil Wayne versus I'm a rock and metal guy, but I distinctly remember having the discussion of Lil Wayne versus like Dr. Dre, I think was the discussion. And it was very late at night, sort of couple drinks discussion, but I will never forget that. But go ahead,
Yeah.
Frenchie.
Well, didn't Lil Wayne pretend he was a rock guy for a little bit there?
Oh God. Well, I know what's his face, the annoying guy from Ohio. Machine Gun Kelly did like a punk album or something, and it was horrendous.
Hold on. Oh, you're not gonna like me right now. I actually like MGK with some of his stuff. Sorry, man.
I liked his rap. Like, I had no problem with his rap, but the punk rock thing, it's just, listen, I have a very niche taste in music. Like, I fully admit, rock and metal is not popular, or it's not like the popular thing, but
It's
yeah,
what you like. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Yep.
what I like. I don't dislike a lot of music. Frenchie's introduced me to a lot of different like bluesy guitar stuff I would never listen to without somebody kind of introducing it and whatnot. And
Yeah.
living in Indiana for a year, I found a lot of country music, but the MGK punk rock album is something that will
Wasn't
definitely
your thing.
will not be on my playlist at any point.
So you're not buying a ticket to go to one of his concerts, or the ticket to his downfall?
If that was the case, maybe I would.
Yeah.
I wanted to just hear a little bit about firsthand about what it was like driving on the wets, the rain tires last weekend, because I know that's kind of a new thing for you guys.
Ooh, good
Yeah,
question.
I was fine with it. It was different for sure, but it was better than what I felt like it was on the slicks. You know, from a driver's standpoint, I feel like there was more that I could do on the rain tire in the rain as a driver to make up for speed or be disciplined in certain areas than there was when I was on slicks.
Is it possible on the rain tire? Like, they say we don't want spray coming off the back of the tire. So if it's raining a certain amount, we're going to have to not race. Is it possible to still see? And I don't know if you've done testing with it where there is a little bit of spray. So maybe they could have started the race a half hour earlier than they did, or something along those lines.
No, I don't
Okay.
know. I haven't done any testing, but I can tell you that if it was spraying, we wouldn't have been able to see.
Sure.
So
Okay.
we couldn't have done anything.
Fair enough.
So this has come up with a few of the drivers we've interviewed over the season. Are you a car guy outside of racing? Like, are you into your kind of personal road cars at all? Or is it more just like I race and that's what I like doing, and then I just kind of drive really chill and just take it easy on the roads, and I don't really like driving anything fast or modifying
No,
cars?
I'm a very much car guy.
Okay,
Yeah,
cool.
I have a Ford F-150, which is probably cliche because I drive a Ford, right? But it's got a Coyote 5.0 in it that's
Oh,
twin
nice.
turboed, and it's a fun truck. As well as I used to have a 2014 Mustang GT that I end up twin turboing and doing a whole bunch of stuff too as well. So yeah, I'm very much a car guy.
I love to hear that.
Oh yeah.
All right, I have two more questions. One kind of on the same vein. If you were to pick, and this is race car specific, you get to pick any race car you can drive. It could be, an old race car that isn't on track anymore in any series, or a current race series. What car are you driving? And you could pick a track if you want.
I'll just say there's two types of race cars. One being a modified, because
Yep.
honestly, any race car driver, even Cup Series driver that's retired and gotten in one, they always say that those are real race cars. Like they're low to the ground, they're light, wide tires, horsepower, everything. As well as I would also want to drive a USAC Sprint, the
Ooh.
asphalt sprints without a
Okay.
wing, obviously. So those are two that. I would definitely, if you could make the living you do race in the Cup Series, you would probably do.
Do you have plans to do more modified racing and whatnot throughout the year on, I don't know, the occasional off weekend that you have with the NASCAR schedule?
Yeah, I'm planning on doing some modified racing in May or June, July, August, like somewhere in there when
Sure.
I can.
Sure. Fair enough.
So I guess I'd say you already talked about kind of Martinsville, but and we already kind of asked you if you had to pick a win, would you got New Hampshire coming up, which we've already decided is going to be your win. Is there a track that you think you're kind of not most worried about, but like that you'd be surprised if you ended up doing well on it at some point later in the season? Is there like a Achilles heel track for you on the schedule?
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
I don't really know. Not really. I feel like every weekend I have really high expectations, and I wouldn't say there's ever a weekend that I go in saying, "Man, we're gonna be terrible here," or "I'm gonna be terrible here." I The only track that I would ever say in my driving career that I don't look forward to going to is a place in Seekonk, Massachusetts. It's a little circle and I don't like it, or it just doesn't fit my style. I ran well there once out of the 15 or 20 times I've raced there, and that's it.
Where is Seekonk? Where is that, like Western Massachusetts?
It's in Eastern Massachusetts, so it's right near Providence.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I think when we interviewed Alex Bowman earlier this year, he actually identified New Hampshire as like his least favorite track that he was doing an Xfinity race. Yeah, because he was like, I need to get in the Xfinity car there because I'm not good there. And I want to run that track. So it's funny that you chose it as like the one that you would want to win at.
Oh, yeah. No, I know Alex. Alex loves the Northeast. He loves the accent. He loves everything about New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Yeah.
All right. So I have one more then, and we'll wrap up soon. Looking at, you know, kind of the future, you know, I know you're driving some modifieds this summer at some point. Is there any plans to go into like having your own team or anything like that, like some drivers have done, to kind of expand on your, you know, career trajectory?
I think the racer in me would love to. Financially, it's right now it doesn't make any sense. I mean there's I would definitely love to have a car that I could put a kid that I felt deserved an opportunity in, but where our sport is, the costs and everything that comes with it, I just told somebody the other day this, and I love racing, but if I go to a modified tour race right now, it'll cost me anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000 to run that race. To win that race, it might be 12,000, maybe 13, but at the very minimum, it's going to cost me that money. And if I finish second, it's going to be 6 or 5. So you're losing money right away.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything anybody would ever do going into it saying, "Man, I'm gonna lose $5,000." You know, just walking into this gate today. I mean, would you? You know what I mean? So
nope.
I don't think that's something that race fans quite understand or hear about, but that's a reality of it. Is if you don't, and I really don't try to go and seek sponsors to race the modified. I'm sure I could, and maybe that would help, but I'm not gonna. There's only so much energy you can and focus you can put into certain things that you have time for.
So jumping off that, you mentioned just, if you could put some kind of talented up and coming driver in a car, if you weren't going to be able to lose that money, you would. Is there somebody that you're kind of seeing in trucks or Xfinity right now that you're keeping an eye on, like when you watch those races, that you're impressed with coming up?
Honestly, I'm more impressed with some so if I had a Xfinity car and I felt like there was drivers out there from where I'm from that deserved an opportunity, two would be Doug Kobe, Justin Bonsior. They're older, but they for all the accolades and accomplishments they have, they deserved to have an opportunity. You know, as well as Ron Silk, but and a few others. But you know, as far as a young driver right now that I would say is doing really well, he's mature beyond his age and he's fast, is Austin Beers. So I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he's somebody
I've
that does
the name.
Really good job for being as young as he is.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll share his social media out at some point for those who are curious. But listen, man, I appreciate all the time this afternoon. Enjoy the race this weekend, and hopefully you can pull out a surprise at least at New Hampshire this summer.
Ah, that's the plan. And if that happens, I'm pretty sure it would be the X lot would be going nuts.
Yes.
We've got to have you back if that happens, because we're good luck if you end up doing that win there.
Yeah, perfect.
Hell right. Yeah, that's right.
Best of luck this year, man, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for the time.
All right, thanks. What's up, guys? I wanted to introduce you to the newest sponsor of the show here, and that would be Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to get in on all of the action across all of the sports, including motorsports. Again, Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or least favorite driver stats, and you can win up 20 times your money in a single night. So, example,
Let's say you are really not a Brad Keselowski fan. So the pick is going to be higher or lower than finishing in seventh place. So you're going to click that lower button and off you're running for the day to see if you can win some money. Underdog keeps it super simple with their easy to use website and mobile apps. All you need to do, pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em entry. You get everything right and you're going to take home some serious cold hard cash. Use promo code PPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $500 by Underdog. A little bit more on why I think Underdog is such an awesome website to use. First off, their website is easy to use and so is their app. There are no waivers, trades, or lineup setting. There's nothing to worry about other than setting a couple guys in your picks. Underdog lets you draft a fantasy team in just a couple minutes. Again, please use promo code PPN for Pit Pass NASCAR, and they'll double your deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. You deposit $100, you're getting $100 free. So join now, and we'll start having a Underdog Fantasy segment in each and every episode going forward after this week.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.